forever.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast, Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod. It is a podcast about scary stories, urban legends, haunted dresses, ghosts dancing, dogs walking around on their legs like men, people who laugh so hard they die, poltergeists that dress awkwardly, and paintings of little dolls that is a haunted painting.
painting of haunted dolls, you know?
A haunted doll that whose dress is a screen-printed haunted painting of a haunted doll who's holding a haunted painting of a haunted doll.
If you're listening to this, your ears are already probably starting to bleed, and that's okay.
And that's actually part of it. It's a haunted podcast for people who like to laugh. What it is?
I think that's good. I think that's, in the event that we ever have an interview with Terry Gross on NPR's Fresh Air, I think that's certainly the most distilled version of it.
God, that would stress me out.
Good
Let's
Lord.
Not.
You know, she'd pull something on us where, like, she'd pick up some disturbing fact about when we were, you know, 12 years old, and then we'd suddenly have to navigate that.
God, she would know.
Terry Gross knows all.
She knows. Yeah. Well, Andrew, today's a Monday.
It is.
What happens on that day?
On Mondays, why is Monday different than any other day of the week? It's because we read from Alvin Schwartz and Stephen Gammell's Scary Stories series.
Correct.
Titled Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yes.
And Anna, as we were going through the surprisingly large amount of stories we still have yet to cover.
I know.
As we've discussed before, some of these are, you know, why we've missed them in the past or why we've skipped over them. But it doesn't mean they don't deserve love. But Anna, you mentioned this one last week as like a possibility for what you would read. And I couldn't wait another week without hearing it.
Okay.
Today we're going to be reading Clinkety Clink.
Clinkety Clink. Okay, good. Yes, I was saving this one for you.
Thank you very much.
It has an iconic illustration. Every time I'm flipping through, I see
it's
it
really
and I'm like,
good.
I can't use it because it has to be Andrew who does it.
It is. Before we describe it, I will just say, Anna, this illustration is kind of if you and I had a ghost.
Correct. And the ghost was turned into a dog and then back into a person.
Exactly. All right. And I'm just, and in case any of you listeners are nervous, I just want to say, yes, this one has a jump scare ending. I'm not going to do the jump scare. Don't worry.
We're going to walk you through what the book says.
Correct.
We're going to read the stage directions instead of performing them.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Great. An old lady got sick and died.
Yes. Go off named
intro.
Character. Bechdel test owned. Smash the glass ceiling.
She had no family and no close friends.
Yes.
So
talk to no one, girl. Go, girl.
Establish
give us
no relationships.
Talk to no one about a man. Don't have a name. Okay, sorry.
So the neighbors got a gravedigger to dig a grave for her. And they had a coffin made and they placed it in her living room. As was the tradition, they washed her body and dressed her up in her best clothes and put her in the coffin.
Okay, this is really nice.
This is above and beyond.
They're being so nice. They're neighbors?
I can't get over it.
I barely take in my neighbor's package.
I guess in this day and age, or in that day and age, it's like you don't want your dead neighbor just stinking up a house next door. So
that's
it's like
fair.
you gotta go through the motions.
Yeah, but like they went and found her nicest clothes.
That's true.
That's above and beyond.
Who are we to judge what the nicest clothes are? But the neighbors, they knew.
They looked at the price tags and said, this one costs the most.
When she died, her eyes were wide open, staring at everything and seeing nothing. It's very scary. The neighbors found two old silver dollars on her dresser and they put them on her eyelids to keep them closed. They lit candles and sat up with her so that she would not be too lonely on the first night that she was dead.
The hell?
The next morning, a preacher came. I know, this is, I understand culture to culture, there are different forms of attending the body before its burial. The way this is put is very kind of sweet and folksy, but also I have a lot more questions. The next morning, a preacher came and said a prayer for her. Then everybody went home. Later, the gravedigger arrived to take her to the cemetery to bury her. He stared at the silver dollars on her eyes, and he picked them up. How shiny and smooth they were. How thick and heavy. They're beautiful, he thought. Just beautiful. He looked at the dead woman with her eyes wide open. He felt that she was staring at him, watching him hold her coins. It gave him a creepy feeling. He put the coins back on those eyes to keep them closed, but before he knew it, his hands reached out again and grabbed the coins and stuck them in his pocket. Then he grabbed a hammer and quickly nailed shut the lid of the coffin. Now you can't see anything, he said to her.
Insane.
Then he took her out of the cemetery.
Say that
insane
to yourself.
Don't do that.
Think no, it.
That's an inside think thought. It. That's an in. Yeah.
You gotta think it.
Then he took her out to the cemetery and he buried her as fast as he could. When the gravedigger got home, he put the two silver dollars in a tin box and shook it. The coins made a cheerful rattling sound, but the gravedigger wasn't feeling cheerful. He couldn't forget those eyes looking at him. When it got dark, a storm came up and the wind started blowing. It blew all around the house. It came in through the cracks and around the windows and down the chimney. Bazoo, it went. Bazee, bazee, bazoo. The fire flared and flickered. The gravedigger threw some fresh wood on the fire and got into bed and pulled the blankets up to his chin. The wind kept blowing. Bazoo, it went. Bazee, bazee, bazoo. The fire flared and flickered and cast evil-looking shadows on the walls. The gravedigger lay there thinking about the dead woman's eyes staring at him. The wind blew stronger and louder, and the fire flared and flickered and popped and snapped, and he got more and more scared. Suddenly, he heard another sound. Clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink, it went. Clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink. It was the silver dollars rattling in the tin box. Hey, the gravedigger shouted, who's taking my money? But all he heard was the wind blowing, bazee, bazee, bazoo, and the flames flaring and flickering and snapping and popping, and the coins going clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink. He leaped out of bed and chained the door. Then he hurried back. But his head had barely touched the pillow when he heard clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink. Then he heard something way off in the distance. It was a voice crying, where is my money? Who's got my money? Who? And the wind blew, bazee, bazee, bazoo. And the fire flared and flickered and snapped and popped. And the money went clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink. The gravedigger was really scared. He got out of bed again and piled all the furniture against the door. And he got a heavy iron skillet over the tin box. And then he jumped back into bed and covered his head with the blankets. But the money rattled louder than ever, and way off the voice cried, give me my money. Who's got my money? Who? And the wind blew, and the fire flared and flickered and snapped and popped, and the gravedigger shivered and shook and cried, oh, lordy, lordy. Suddenly, the front door flew open, and in walked the ghost of the dead woman with her eyes wide open, staring at everything and seeing nothing. And the wind blew, bazee, bazee, bazoo. And the money went clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink. And the fire flared and flickered and snapped and popped. And the ghost of the dead woman cried, oh, where is my money? Who took my money? Who? And the gravedigger moaned, oh, lordy, lordy. The ghost could hear her money going clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink in the tin box, but her dead eyes couldn't see the box, so she reached out with her arms and tried to find it. And here it instructs the storyteller to walk around the room with your arms outstretched. The wind went bazee, bazee, bazoo, and the money rattled clink-ti-clink, clink-ti-clink, and the fire flared and flickered and snapped and popped, and the gravedigger And the gravedigger shivered and shook and moaned, "Oh, lordy, lordy." And the woman cried, "Give me my money. Who's got my money? Who? Who?" And gentle listener, at this point, it wants me to jump at a nearby friend and shout, "You've got it!"
Ah,
Andrew, the hell end.
Oscar, Emmy, Tony, Brit Award.
It's a very scary story. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. Andrew, I am I'm floored. I really, like, I've never had this story read to me before. I only ever read it to myself as a kid. And like, I never really liked it that much. And like hearing it out loud, you just realize like, that's what these stories are meant to be. They're meant to be read out loud to your friend who's scared. I remember being a kid reading these books in my house. And like, I was like, why do they keep saying busy, buzzy, bazoo? Why do they keep saying clinkety clank? Why do they keep saying lordy, lordy? And it's because like, it's like a song. Like yeah. each part of this, it's almost like a round or like a,
oh, you're
like a
right.
song where there's like a little bit that gets added each time.
Yeah. Yes.
Like a frog on the tree and the limb, that whole thing.
That's true. It is kind of like, what's the one with like, this is the man who da 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 da. You keep adding things in like chorus yes. in second grade. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I could see doing this with a big room of kids and like giving like you guys are the wind and you guys are the fire. And
oh, that's a really good idea.
This actually, I would say this story is like almost R-rated in how scary it is. Like I don't know, listener, I don't know where you're at, but I am scared. I'm like in my house looking over my shoulder. And I'm the oldest person who's ever been alive, so.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
I'm older than Dua Lipa, you know? That's something I think about 8 hours of the day.
Oh, boy.
I shouldn't be scared of anything.
Yeah, did anyone else have the experience watching that Britney Spears documentary where you were like, oh, she's only 6 years older than me? Like,
insane.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the other thing that is really fun about this story. So this is a classic twist on the golden arm.
Yes, this is your just delicious, your wonderful sausage.
Right, right. Your big toe.
Who's got my toe? Who's got my bone? Who's got my arm? Who's got my liver? You know, all of these things and more.
Right. Whereas this one, very relatable, who's got my money? Which many of us yeah. are asking about stimuli, and that's fine.
Joe's got it.
Joe, you know? Call up Joe.
Clinkety clink.
Yeah, this is really – okay. So let's talk about this illustration, Anna, because it just can't go on any longer. We got to talk about it.
It's too scary.
As we said before, Anna and I feel a deep kindred. This is my mirror in my bathroom is way too big. This is what I see every morning when I turn on the bathroom
no.
light. Yeah, very much so. I wear a full frock to bed. Anna, would you help describe what's going on here in this illustration?
Oh, God, there's so much, and I'm scared to look at it.
Me too.
It's like a ghost of an old lady. It's the moment where she, I'm like scared looking at it. I don't like that I'm looking at it. She's so fucking scary. And like her eyes are open. She's seeing nothing.
Yes, dead eyes.
And it's all like very watercolory, very Stephen Gammell. Very smudgy, that sort of like overexposed light effect that he does.
Yes.
You can see that there's like wooden floorboards that she's kind of gliding over. She's standing in the doorway and her arms are kind of like, they're undefined. Like it's all very smudgy, but they're kind of, her right arm is kind of down and her left arm is like moving up.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right. She
right.
has like sort of spiderwebby, ghosty, gauzy clothes with like black buttons down the front, like a black ribbon around the waist. And her hair is just stringy and straight down, which like no judgment, but you know, and her eyes are like black, like holes
yeah.
with little white dots way back in them.
Oh, just pinpricks of light. It's so
pinpricks
scary.
Of light. And she's got like some stringy bangs and she has under eye bags like wild. And her nose is two holes And her mouth is this little skeleton sucker mouth.
It's awful.
It's so upset. Yeah, it's the thing where it's like the teeth go into the lips because the lips are rotted away. Ugh. It's very scary. I don't want to look at it.
No, it also, the only thing that makes me feel better is it also kind of looks like she's walked in. She's like been at a party. She left her coat in a room and she opened the door to leave the party kind of Irish goodbying. She opens the door and there are two people making out on the bed on top of her coat.
on her coat and purse.
And she's going, oh.
And it's two people who she didn't know were queer. Exactly. And she's like, oh, did I have, am I, do I have to do secret or is it actually bad to keep secret?
Right.
Should I tell everyone?
Am I reacting more strongly to this because it's two queer people and not, you know, a heteronormative relationship? Like you can see all of these thoughts are going through her head.
She's definitely someone who like reached out to her friends in a moment of crisis to be like, just checking on you. And it's like,
I know that you know that it's like you think you know the right thing to do, but it's
no, but we don't trust you.
She also, this is something I'm just noticing, Anna. Stephen Gammell, the true master, it looks, there's an effect of the drawing that makes it look like her arms are in rapid motion, which is very scary.
I don't like a rapid ghost.
No, ghosts move slow. We all know
this. That's the only good thing about ghosts. And I would say that's a scary thing about ghosts.
Yeah.
But like, it is a tactical advantage that they're slow.
Yes.
If they're fast, you are done.
Right.
You're done.
It's like the concept of a ghost finishing its unfinished business brusquely is far too scary.
Ugh, I can't handle that.
Yeah. With a brisk pace, no thank you.
No, thank you. Slow down.
This illustration is, it's so scary. This is definitely, in addition to the haunted house one from the first book, this is one that I would dash past. Like, I was just like, can't dwell on this pic.
It's so funny because she has the look of a friend who is like a tertiary friend who's like, are you mad at me? Like, I wasn't scared of this. I was annoyed by the busy, buzzy, buzzoo. I was like, I don't know what that is. And it's not scary to me. But hearing it out loud, I was like, oh, that sounds like those crazy windy windstorms.
Yeah.
Where you just can't believe the sound that the wind is making. Hearing it, like, I needed to hear Andrew Farmer say it out loud. When you're just reading it and you're a kid, busy, buzzy, buzzoo, and oh, lordy, lordy. I was like, literally, this is the lamest. It's like going to a friend's church where it's like... just whatever. What is all this?
I will say, I'm sure that I haven't listened to this in forever, but I'm sure that my reading is heavily influenced by the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark on tape, which I believe is done by an actor named George Irving. I'm going to make sure that's right.
Sounds like a great.
He does so well at like capturing those. I just remember as a kid, George S. Irving. Every Halloween, we would like listen to this tape and it was devastatingly scary. He's really good.
This went from like bottom of the barrel least scary story to like one of the scarier stories of the whole trilogy for me.
Oh, wow.
Just hearing it out loud. And like your performance was amazing, but also like these stories, like Alvin Schwartz talks about how it's from the oral tradition and these are gathered from folklore and like retellings and it's meant to be told around a fire.
Right.
And I just like with the drawing, I was like, this isn't scary to me because I don't get it. And then like having heard it, this drawing is now much scarier to me.
Yeah, it's amazing too. It's kind of like we've talked about Taily Po before and certainly we've read The Big Toe. Like it's funny how repetition in scary stories is so effective when it's told out loud, especially if you're a kid. It almost achieves this kind of like trance like tension that then they like you've got it is so scary.
It is so scary. It's also like you don't got it, like the Grey Digger has it and we know that.
I know. I don't have your money.
There's so much to talk about with this.
Yes. Okay,
well let's talk about what's scary about it. I mean we've already talked about it, but like should we get a little meta? It's, you know, in generally it's scary to think about what it'll be like after you die, especially the idea that it would be kind of lonely.
Yes.
Like this description, like your neighbors are taking care of you. That's too bad.
That really spooks me up. And I think that the other, like from the point of view of the old woman, super scary to have a stranger, like take something from you. And then from the gravedigger's point of view, I think why we can like put ourselves in this situation is that like probably most of us have never taken coins off the eyelids of a dead person. I'm guessing.
I have to say, I have questions about this gravedigger.
My privilege is showing that I can't believe that would be a reality for people. But who knows? I don't know everyone's life. But I think we all have done a thing before we knew it that was wrong. And yes. Then had to live with that. Like we make a call too quickly or like we're not even thinking and we do something and we're like, oh my God. And that guilt manifested in the form of a ghost coming back to haunt you forever is very scary.
I know. This felt like a real ad for BetterHelp. did you screw up at work and it's making you crazy? BetterHelp. it was pretty easy to read it as like, his guilt is kind of making him crazy until she shows up.
Right.
But yeah, like the idea that no one's going to know you did this bad thing except for you.
Right. Right. Ugh.
And like that dead gaze is so scary. Cause it's like, how could they not see anything? Their eyes are open.
Right.
Like that haunting feeling of she's still looking at you. Very scary. It just, yeah, this lonely death. Also, like, I would love to see a version of this where she's like, who took my money? Okay, you have it. Okay, who gave me a bath? Who?
Yeah. Who cut my bangs? Who?
I have a distinct memory of five of you giving me a bath and then talking about my clothes.
Okay, Anna, in the event that we are her neighbors.
Yeah.
Which... I mean, no one's gunning for the bath, you know, like in terms of like divvying up jobs. It's like helping a friend move. It's like no one's like, oh, I'll do the bath. I do feel like inevitably you and I would end up being the bath people. Like there would be some reason and you and I would not be like self. I'm trying to think of what term you and I would be too. Like, I mean, sure. Whatever people, I guess, like, yeah. I guess I've kind of got to go at 5:30, but if the bath can be done by then,
I have like a medium hard out at 5:30, but I could flex to 6 if I could take an Uber, which yeah, that's not that bad.
And by then everyone's already left the room saying, thank everyone's you so much. Thanks, Andrew and Anna.
They're all making plans for like where they're having dinner and we're just yeah, I mean, I this is making me think a lot about my favorite. I've become an unapologetic consumer of YouTuber culture, which is sort of my own quarantine process. But other people are like gardening, and I'm just becoming a YouTuber fan. But Caitlin Doughty she has the Order of the Good Death on YouTube. She's a mortician who like demystifies death and opens up the funeral process, and she's a big fan of the idea of like returning to traditional burial practices, including mm-hmm. the family being involved in like washing the body and dressing it and spending time with it. So it just makes me think about a lot of the stuff that she talks about on her channel, which sounds like impossibly scary, but also like I can see the benefit to like the grieving process sort of being more helped along by that. But then when it's just a random person.
Right. And when it's a neighbor, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I think... The concept of bathing anyone, very intimate and in a puritanical culture, one would say uncomfortable.
Yes, definitely. I do think it ultimately would be more like a sponge bath. Like, yeah. I don't know if you're putting her in the tub.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing some Febrezing for sure.
No. Oh my God, Andrew, we would.
I know. And then you and I would we'd be haunted. We would not have even gotten home before we'd being haunted. It would be like
who used Lysol wipes on my crack? Who used an entire canister of Lysol wipes on my feet and crack?
Or the other thing I could see us doing is we put the corpse in a tub, we fill it up, we find a bath bomb, and we're like, let's just see what the bath bomb does.
It just dissolves her flesh.
And we're like, well... They're like, where's the body? It did go down the drain. We have her skull, but everything else is cool. You know,
everything else is gone. I don't know what was in that bath bomb. It normally makes me really moisturized, but it dissolved her.
It dissolved her to hell.
Oh my God. We haven't even gotten to the part where she's a ghost. We're both just so scared by the idea of dying alone.
I know. And I guess it's also like, because then when I think about if I was a dead body being bathed, it's like, oh God, then right before you die, you have to think about like, am I wearing deodorant? Have I like, what are people getting into after I die? Like, how do I set this? It's sort of like when yeah. you have company staying in your house when you're not there and you're like, how do I anticipate what could happen yes. before they get there? Yeah.
Absolutely. The idea of someone staying at your place when it's dirty and you're not home yet, it just is
absolute nightmare.
Just looking at your underwear in the middle of the living room and they're like, how do you live?
And then the thing is, Anna, like if we're the dead lady in this situation, all of our friends are like comedy people. So, you know, there's going to be a Twitter thread about our nasty bodies. Like, it's just like this is.
Oh.
Thank goodness. God. Thank goodness you and I are in relationships with non-comedians. So we know that the tweet's not going to be like, my spouse is rank ass. Like, it's just like, I just don't want to talk about this.
Oh my God. No, Jason, he would be really good at it. Oh, both of our spouses are Eagle Scout and Eagle Scout with an asterisk next to it. Right. So I'm sure they do a great job of bathing our corpse. He's in the other room listening to his own podcast, eating pasta.
Right? Chris is going to listen to this and be like, oh God, well, all right.
You'd do a great job.
I think he would. I'm not gonna like I've said, just if I die, light the whole house on fire, and then that we'll just make that it. Yeah,
burn me down. Yeah. That is what I want. Yeah. I and then she's a ghost, which is scary. Like the idea of your friend walking around, reaching their hands out. Like you've gotten that repetition in at that point, so mm-hmm. everybody is in that a little bit of a trance, like you're talking about, and then your friend starts moving, which I have to say. You don't expect someone to start walking around when they're telling a scary story.
No, the rules are out the window. Yeah.
The proscenium is gone. This is Cats. This is the beginning of the second act. The cats are in the aisles. They're meowing. They're grabbing at your dad.
The proscenium has no power anymore. You are in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. And the idea of being grabbed, I could hear the shriek.
Yeah, this is definitely one that when I would read to campers after Scary Stories got banned and then they came back, but they could only be from Scary Stories books. This was one that really, I mean, it's like I wasn't doing any grabbing. I was doing some walking around and jumping at kids. But that was, it would be pure pandemonium as soon as I stood up because it was just like, you can tell a story and stand. Like everything was unclear.
Oh my God. Have you ever been that powerful again?
Oh no.
When you're
no. I never will again. I mean that is the peak of it. When you're a kid and you're sitting and an adult is standing, you are nothing. Like oh that is just God. The reality.
Just like commanding the attention of that many cabins of kids. I will never. I realize that like my ideal industry is like screaming in a lodge after meal for children. Like that is where I should be working and living, but it pays very little, so I'm not gonna do that. Also, summer isn't all year long, so
I know it's funny. Classically summer is not all year long, you
it's
know?
Not summer is seasonal.
That's true. Spooky is not seasonal, but summer sure as hell is. Yes. Anna, who are we gonna cast this one? This is a true powerhouse duo. This calls for extraordinary measures. Who are we going to cast as the gravedigger and the ghost of the old rich woman?
Oh, the gravedigger could be so many people. I could see it being Brian Tyree Henry.
Oh, sure.
I could see it being Brian D'Arcy James.
Three name Brians. I'm feeling Brian Jordan Alvarez.
Yes. Yes. Who's not a YouTuber, but does his work there.
Yes. There's spiritually feels like, yeah.
Someone who posts on YouTube and a YouTuber. yeah, I could see it being, you know, Brian Fellows, the character.
Yes. What a classic meta move.
And I could see David Harbour, but he's a little too smart. Not like these other people aren't smart, but like his characters are so tortured by their own.
Yeah.
Thoughts, like I think he's too calculating.
Right, that's true. You want someone. I mean, if we were like heartless Hollywood execs, we would go straight to Tom Hardy. You know, But I want someone a little more guileless, like maybe a John C. Reilly.
Big time John C. Reilly. That could be. Yeah, that's whose picture would be on the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What about the old woman?
Oh, my God. I did just watch I Care a Lot. So I want to say Diane Wiest, who I would put in everything.
She is a perfect actress.
Her performance in that movie was one of the, dare I say, only things I liked. We'll talk later.
We'll talk about it in our other podcast.
Guys, yeah, find me after the podcast, everyone. Just meet me right outside the podcast and we can chat. We can smoke and talk.
Right before I hop in a cab, we can talk outside the podcast.
I just need to smoke a cigarette and like talk shit in the parking lot of this podcast. So just meet me there. it's fine.
Yeah, I'm also thinking, okay, is this when we go with Meryl? Like, is this when we take the jump and we get Meryl?
Wow.
What are your thoughts?
Here's the thing with Meryl. There are certain performers who are geniuses because of how fearless they are. Mm-hmm. And then there are other performers who are geniuses because of the fear that they have. That they are a little fragile and you can see that hesitance. And I think that Meryl is the second one. And I think for this performer, we want someone who is completely fearless.
Anna,
like,
that breakdown gave me goosebumps. You're a genius.
I am so smart in a way that's like not smart, like would be smart in very limited ways.
That's the best I've ever heard that put about good actors, Anna.
I just think about it all the time because I am like deeply fearful and like it amazes me to see people who aren't at all embarrassed to be doing what they're doing on stage when it's like, or on the film when it's like embarrassing. Like there are times where I act twice a year famously because I have like a mild case and I'm not very talented, but I just don't feel like quitting. And
Adrian is a very good actor.
It's fine. It's fine. But like, there are so many times where I'm doing so, especially for voiceover stuff where they're like, can you do it bigger? And I'm like, I don't want to. It's embarrassing. Like, no, it's nerdy as hell. I don't want to do it big, louder. Ew, I don't know. And then there are people who like have absolutely no problem like being covered in grape jelly and screaming like holding their butthole open. And like, I think we need a butthole holder.
That's true. Anna, this is making me think, I mean, Diane Wiest is such a good call. I know Cherry Jones is like a powerful person, but we just talked about Cherry Jones. I also feel like there is something there's something about her stage performance in Doubt, which was like performing I'm in control, but you could sense the like wavering under everything, which I find very compelling.
Yes. That I like.
June Squibb, frequent cast member of the pod, not friend of the pod. I hope, I wish she would
frequently
be
on the podcast. What is this? Where does it go? Where's the camera? No, there's.
I was ordering soup dumplings and now suddenly I'm on a show.
Thanks for joining the pod. I'm hungry. God, I think Bob the Drag Queen would actually be great.
Love Bob the Drag. I love I feel like very often what happens with drag performers is we assume like they are the character, but in order to perform drag, I think that does take some acting skill. And Bob the Drag Queen's a very good actor.
Oh yeah, like could commit to the sort of operatic performance.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Oh, thanks.
Just another quick thought about casting. I also feel like. This is another kind of twist. Sigourney Weaver. I'm thinking of someone whose ghost would be intimidating.
Good point. I wouldn't want to disappoint her at all.
No, can you imagine stealing from Sigourney Weaver and then her ghost coming back? I can't do it. The panic is already rising up in me.
God, her ghost calls me a neoliberal hack. I'm like, you don't know what neoliberal means. Define it for me.
Oh, wow.
Stressful.
Well, Anna, good thank point, you for Andrew. Letting me read this longish but effective scary story today.
Andrew, I will never be able to repay you the level and the quality of entertainment that I gleaned from your performance tonight.
This is very generous. Thank you so much.
This is my favorite thing that I've binged in quarantine is you reading this story.
That's very generous. Thank you.
This is my Tiger King.
Oh no.
Yes.
Speaking of things we've binged, what is something scary that happened to you this week, Hannah?
Something scary is that you read that story to me just
now. Wow. I appreciate that.
That's one. And oh no, this is something scary. I had a dream that I was put on the schedule at the hotel I used to work at.
Oh my God.
And was like, I don't work here anymore. And they were like, what are you talking about? You're on the schedule. You're required to cover those shifts. You have to get coverage. And if you can't get coverage, you have to come in. And I was like, well, I don't have any numbers for anyone who works here now. It has been 5 years. And they were like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You got to come in.
That is very scary. And then you were like, okay, I'll get my blazer.
Truly, Andrew, you don't know. I like to this day, I can bless you.
Thank you.
To this day, I can't wear blazers without being deeply sent back to a time and place. It was awful. And it's because I was thinking about, I was listening to a podcast about like Medicare for All and like how workers can't call in sick. Oh, it was like sick leave in the US versus other places.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one time where I called in sick and they said, you have to come in. Oh. They just said no. And I came in, which is like a very common thing. Anyway,
this is also broken.
Anyway, so that's scary.
Yeah.
For many reasons. What about you, Andrew? What's something scary that happened to you this
week?
Okay,
this one's pretty brief. So like 2.5 months ago, I made some baked macaroni and cheese. I put it in the freezer. I then was on autopilot yesterday, where I just wasn't really thinking. And then I took the macaroni and cheese out of the freezer from over 2 months ago. And then I baked it and ate the leftovers. But then as I was eating the leftovers, I forgot that I had taken it out of the freezer. And in my head, I was like, this macaroni and cheese is 2.5 months old. And I have contracted I was just like, well, that's it. And I'm shitting myself to death. And we all knew it was going to be something like that.
God.
But then I remembered like, oh no, this is from the freezer. Everything's fine. And everything.
You thought it was from the fridge for a second?
I did. I totally forgot the extra oven time.
That's scary.
Yeah. But everything's fine. Dietary tract intact.
She there.
She out there.
Oh my. She is. Oh my God. That is. When I die, it will be from myself, food poisoning myself.
I think that all the time. I'm just very aware of it. And I don't know that I've had food poisoning really. So actually, I'm knocking on every wood surface in my home right now.
It's not food poisoning when you eat something that is not edible anymore and it makes your body feel bad because it doesn't want it. That's not food poisoning. That's just you're a dog eating a chicken wing on a sidewalk.
Yeah. If you eat steel wool, you did not die of food poisoning.
I know. There's so many times where I'm like, I had food poisoning. It's like, no, you ate milk and jumped around, you know, like.
Oh, Anna, that feels like the best possible place to end this old
app. On that note. Oh, God. Oh, my God. My God. Something scary just happened.
What happened?
I have my headphones on and I'm facing the window in the bedroom. And Lady Bird was inside with Jason because he was cooking and she like had to observe him cooking. And in the window, I saw a reflection of this little white smudge climbing the dog stairs. And it was her. And we've talked about how she's a ghost before because she's a little white thing that like tiptoes. Jason must have opened the door and let her in very quietly because he's a podcast producer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it just seemed like she fucking teleported in here. That scared the hell out of me.
Oh, wow. What a genuine moment of fear, Anna. That was great.
And let's end on that. And to all of you and to Lady Bird, I say,
get out.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @ForeverDogTeam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.